You're listening to the New Point Community Church Podcast. This message is part of our message series, I'm In. For more information about New Point or to get involved, visit newpoint.org/podcast.
That, my friends, is what I'm In, Run by Faith, is all about. If you've been trying to figure out why we've been talking so much about I'm In and Run by Faith, that's what it's all about. Well, welcome to New Point. If this happens to be your first time here, you're in for a real treat because you're going to see a part of our heart. Matter of fact, you're going to see all of our heart today because we're in this campaign, a spiritual growth campaign called I'm In, Run by Faith. And we're calling people to a high, high commitment because we deal in high stakes of life. You see, we believe that everybody spends forever somewhere. And we believe it so much that we're willing to lovingly challenge one another to be able to get after it. We like to say, run to win. And so today is our commitment day. And I've been asking you to pray, God, what would you want me to give so that your vision might be fulfilled through New Point? And so we have a commitment card in your weekly. And again, if you're a first-time friend and guest, this really isn't for you. You can just observe and watch and think that we're crazy. Because some people think that we're out of our mind. And like Paul, we are, but it's for you. Because we believe that everybody spends forever somewhere. Matter of fact, this week, I got an incredible gift from someone, a friend of mine. Her name is Sharon, and she was here before I got here. And she tore out the vision booklet, and it lists our nine previous giving campaigns. And she just wrote me a little note on it. All right, would you like to hear what she wrote to me? Here's what she said. Dwight, this is the first one, back in 1990, okay? Been there, done that. 1993, and that. 1996, and that. 1999, and that. 2004, and that. 2007, and that. 2011, and that. 2013, and that. And now this, count me in. I'm all in for this. And she writes, of course I am. And so that's what we've been calling each and every one of us to be able to declare those words, I'm in. I'm in. And so I trust today that you will take action that will demonstrate the fact that you're in. Now, we've been looking at this verse from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24, and you can follow along in your note-taking guide if you like, but here's what we're focusing on. Paul is talking to a group of people. Matter of fact, he's talking about winning people to Christ, leading people to realize and reach their full potential in Christ. And he says in the previous verse, he says, you know what? I will do anything and everything to help people come and understand that God loves them and that he has a purpose and a plan for their life. And then he drops with this. He says, don't you know that in a race all runners run, but only one gets the prize? He talks about leading people to Jesus, and he says, we're in this race, dude. And if you're in this race, then you know what? You want to run to get the prize. And then he goes on to say this. He says, so run in such a way as to get the prize. Now, what's the prize? The prize is not heaven, because you and I can't work our way to heaven. It's a gift. It's by grace. The prize he's talking about is a crown. And it's a crown for people who are willing to exercise self-discipline in saying no to some things so they can ultimately say yes to God. He said, that's the prize. And so you and I are called to run in such a way to get the prize. Now, we've looked at many different ways in which we're called to run. We're called to run by faith. We're called to run with purpose. We're called to run with sacrifice. We're called to run with commitment. We're called to run with generosity. But today, I want us to look at this thought. We're called to run with perseverance. With perseverance. And I'm telling you, this is huge. This is huge. What is perseverance? Well, let me give you a definition. And by the way, this is the definition that we use in Velocity. With first graders, second graders, third graders, fourth graders, fifth graders, okay? So this is what we're teaching your kids, okay? Here's perseverance. Perseverance is refusing to give up even when it's hard. Even when it's hard. You just refuse to give up. You know what you do? You persevere. Now, they've done study after study after study, and many people believe that this is probably the main characteristic that we need to instill in our kids. And not only in our kids, but it needs to be instilled in you and me. You know why? Because life isn't fair. Life is hard. Life is difficult. And we have challenges in life. And so persevering is the ability to do the hard thing. It's the right thing, but it's the hard thing. It's the ability to continue to go on and move forward. Because nobody goes through life with unbroken chains of success. You know, Patty and I, in one of our campaigns here, we pledged because, you know, people ask me, Dwight, what do I know the number? How do I know the number that I should write down? And we use C.S. Lewis, and we just said, here's what C.S. Lewis has to say. C.S. Lewis says, how do you know when you're giving enough? It scares you, and people question your sanity. And so that's how Patty and I do it. It scares us. Our commitment scares us. And some people would question our sanity. Well, we've done this in every campaign that we've ever had. And in every campaign, we were able to hit the target. God did some incredible, miraculous stuff in our life, and it was just beautiful. It was exciting, and stories that I love to tell. But during this one campaign, probably about 7 years ago, guess what? We hit the end of our 3-year commitment, and we still did not fulfill our commitment. And it took us 18 months beyond the designated time to fulfill our commitment. Are you all okay? Our commitment. See, we made a commitment, and we weren't going to renege on it. Got too much character to do that. Got too much character to do that. Our vow wasn't so much to New Point, it was to God. And so you know what we did for the next 18 months? You all right? What we did is we persevered. We persevered, and we continued to write the check. And I talked to our finance guy, and I told him, I said, hey, I don't know when this is going to be paid, but we're going to pay it. See, that's perseverance. It's refusing to give up even when it is hard, even when it is difficult. And some of us, you know what? We've taken C.S. Lewis up on his word. The commitment that we're making scares us half to death. And if people knew what we were doing, they'd question our sanity. And I'm not saying today that it's going to be easy. It could be very, very hard. But God wants to be able to give you the ability to persevere no matter what happens, because he will show up. You know, I love this quote by Andy Stanley. He says it this way. He says, spiritual maturity is measured in persevering faith, not perfect behavior. Wow. Don't you just love it? Because isn't that how we identify maturity? We define maturity in a leader is that they keep their word, that they do what's necessary, even if it is hard. And so it is with the Christ follower. Spiritual maturity is not naming the books of the Bible. It's not even quoting scripture. It's persevering in faith. And what is faith? Faith is believing that God is who he says he is, and that he will do what he has promised to do. And so how do you and I do that? How can you and I do that? Because here's what I know about all of us here today. Your biggest regrets in life can be traced back to a lack of perseverance, something that you have given up on. It might have been a marriage. It might have been your education. It might have been a high school sports team. But I guarantee you this, if we would list our regrets, it would go back that, you know what? We gave up. We gave up. We threw in the towel. We quit. And because of that, we're not reaping the benefits of persevering. And so the question becomes, so where do you and I get this spirit to run with perseverance? Well, it's faith. And faith is believing that God is who he says he is and that he will do what he has promised to do. It's believing that God can do anything at any moment that could change the direction of our lives. And you wouldn't want to miss out on that, would you? It's believing that God will give you exactly what you need when you need it so that you can fulfill his purpose and his plan in his kingdom. That's what it is. It's faith. And so how do we do it? Well, what I want to do is I want to show you from Scripture, okay, how you and I can develop a persevering spirit. And then I want to give you some benefits to that. Because we all need this. Whether you're in I'm In campaign or not, you need this, I promise you. And so let's look at Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to look at verses 1 through 3. And we're going to see here, because one of the analogies that we see all throughout Scripture is a race that we're running. And so here's what he says, all right? He says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, and therefore means, in light of what I just said, and if you would read Hebrews chapter 11, he lists a group of people who ran by faith. They walked by faith. They persevered through incredible odds that were against them, and hard times and difficult times. Some of them gave their very lives, but they believed in who God was. And so he says, in light of that, okay, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, okay, we need to run with faith. We need to run with faith. And so how do you and I run with faith, with perseverance? Number one, you got to run with people. He says, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us run this race. And so if you and I are going to run with a spirit of perseverance, you have to run with people. You and I were not created to do life alone. One of the things that we say around here is that it's dangerous to do life alone. You were not created to do life alone. You were created to do life in community with other people. And so he says, we've got a cloud of witnesses. We've got a group of people around us. So let us run, what? Together with a group of people. Now, there's a man in the Bible. His name is David. He was called a man after God's own heart. And if you would read his life story, you would say, I don't want any of that. Okay? Because the fact of the matter is, his life is basically one crisis after another crisis after another crisis after another crisis. And the only thing that got him through was faith in God, a persevering experience with God. And so what happens is, what we learn about David is he's anointed king, but he does not get possession of the throne for 7 years. Think of that. And during that 7 years, many things happened to him. The present king did not like him and wanted him dead, okay? David also married a woman who was not good for him, okay? And she criticized him, and he lived under that. He also had two young babies die as infants. He also had a son who raped his half-sister. He also had a son who rebelled against him and tried to do a coup attempt against him. Do I need to continue to go on and on and on? I mean, the dude had a rough life. And yet, if you will read the story of David, he ran with some people in his life that always was free to speak to him. One happened to be Nathan. And so he ran with people. Because what happens is, life is hard and life is difficult. And here's what David ended up writing. He writes this in Psalms 37:25. I was young and now I am old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging for bread. Wow. He says, I've never seen the righteous forsaken. Who's the righteous? The righteous is the man or the woman who's in right relationship with God and right relationship with other people. See, the reason why many times we give up in life is because we feel forsaken. And the reason why you feel forsaken is because you're out of community. You're not living in community. You don't have people who you've given permission to speak to you. They don't know your life. They don't know your difficulties. They don't know the hard times that you're going through. And so if we're going to run with perseverance, we have to be able to run with people. We've got to have people in our life who we give permission to speak to us. We got to have people in our life who want something more for us than something from us. Do you have anybody like that? Or all the people in your life taking from you? They just want something from you. They don't want something for you. And so if we're going to run, we need to run and run with people. Some of you, you know what? I love you. I want you to know I love you, okay? But you chose not to be a part of a small group, and you're paying for it now. It's a regret because I'm hearing incredible stories about what's happening in our small groups as they've gone through this study on faith. And you're not running with anybody, and you're fighting depression. You're fighting discouragement just about life because life isn't fair. And if you're going to persevere, you've got to have people in your life who are righteous. They know God and they know you. And you've given them permission to speak to them. He goes on to say this. He says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so entangles us, so easily entangles us. Now, for anybody to throw off everything that hinders them and the sin that so entangles them, you know what that tells me about them? They're passionate about something. And so you not only have to run with people, but you have to run with passion. So much that you're willing to deal with anything and everything in your life that would hinder you from doing that which God would call you to do. Now, there's a lot of good things. The word hinder there does not mean sin. There's just things in your life and there's things in my life that can hinder me from doing what God wants me to do. So what happens? Let's talk about giving again. If we don't deal with everything that would hinder us, then you know what? We're not going to give to God. Because we're going to choose things that would hinder us from being generous towards God. Are you all okay? And so what happens is you show me somebody who's passionate and they will deal with everything in their life. A passionate athlete deals with everything that would hinder them from winning the gold. Rocky Marciano, okay? Some of you don't know that. Ask your dad about him, okay? But he was an undefeated champion, heavyweight champion. And you know what he said? He said, there wasn't a night in my boxing career that I did not go to bed hungry. Say what? You're the heavyweight champion of the world. You mean you go to bed hungry? Is it because you don't have any food in your refrigerator? No, because I want to be the best. I want to be the best. And I don't want anything to hinder me. You see, he could be a boxer and weigh as much as I weigh. No comments on that, please. But he couldn't be the greatest boxer. Couldn't be the greatest boxer. And listen, you won't have passion for God and you won't have passion for other people until you deal with some of the stuff that hinders you. And he goes on to say, and the sin that what? That so easily entangles us. What's that sin that so easily entangles us? Let me tell you what it is. It's unbelief. It's unbelief. You see, when I don't have a strong belief in God, what happens is I don't have much passion in my life. But when I am connected, you cannot be disconnected from God and have no passion. If you're connected with God today, I promise you, you're passionate. And if you don't have any passion in your life, I'm sorry, you're not connected with God. You're not abiding in Him. Because the very fact that that's like hooking up to 220 volt. Okay, when you hook up with God, He begins to flow in you in incredible ways. And here's what we need to understand. Nothing is ever accomplished of significance without passion. You got to have passion. And so you got to run with people, and then you got to run with passion. And how do you do that? You deal with things that hinder you, that causes your passion to wane, and you deal with the sin that so easily can entangle you and me, and that is unbelief. Unbelief, believing that God is not who he says he is and that he will do what he has promised to do. He goes on to say this, okay? He says, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Wow. What's he saying here? Well, we should not only run with people and with passion. He goes on to say this, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. He's saying that we should run with purpose. And nobody ran with purpose more than Jesus. Jesus was clear on his purpose. He knew why he came to earth. That's why he could say at the end, it is finished. What's finished? My race. He didn't say I was finished. He said it is finished. And so what happens is, There's a race that's been marked out for each and every one of us. Psalms 139 tells us that, listen to me, that God has ordained the days for you to walk in them. One of the things that I pray over our kids all the time is I will pray this, God, I pray that Caleb and Sarah and Jonathan and Benjamin will walk in the days that you have ordained for them, because God has a plan and a purpose for their life. And in Ephesians, he says that we are created in Christ Jesus to do what? Good works that he prepared in advance for us. And so what happens is when you have a purpose, see, listen to me very carefully, okay? Let me tell you why some of us are struggling. Because your purpose isn't bigger than your problems. And your purpose isn't bigger than your pain. And so when you run into some problems, you know what you do? You quit. You give up. When you run into some pain and life is filled with pain, you know what you do? You quit. You know why? Because you don't have a purpose bigger than your pain. You don't have a purpose bigger than your problem. Paul said it like this. He says, so I run with purpose in every step. In every step. So listen to me very carefully, okay? God doesn't want you to give up. He wants you to grow up. And many of us, you know what? We've not grown up. We're adolescents, emotionally, spiritually. You know why? Because you quit. You give up on everything. If you think it's not going to go your way or you think you're going to fail, you know what you do? You quit. And so you lose out. You lose out. Here's what James has to say about that. He says, let perseverance finish its work so that you may be what? Mature and complete and not lacking anything. Wow. Wow. You know, there's a difference between a buffalo and a cow. Do you know that? Let me give you some agricultural stuff here, okay? Cows, they say, when they see a storm, you know what they do? They run from it. They put their tail between their legs and they run from it. When a buffalo senses or sees a storm, they do the exact opposite. You know what they do? They run in the middle of the storm. And what they have found out is this. The storm lasts shorter for the buffalo than it does for the cow. Because the cow running from the storm just prolongs the storm. And the buffalo says, all right, we got a problem, we got some pain, let's deal with it. And so it is with you and me. And if we're going to run with perseverance, we've got to run with some people who are like-minded. We've got to run with passion. We've got to run with purpose. Your purpose has to be bigger than your problems, than your pain. And you say, well, it isn't. Well, then get a purpose. Because God has a race marked out for you. He's ordained the days for you to walk in them. He's created good works for you to do in advance. And I'm telling you, when you have a purpose, it's amazing the tenacity that rises up and you just say, you know what, I refuse to quit because I know what God's asking me to do. I know what God's calling me to do. The Hebrew writer continues to write this. He says, for the joy set before him, referring to Jesus, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Wow. He goes on to say this. Consider him who? the one who modeled perseverance to perfection, Jesus. Consider him who endured such what? Opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart, so that you won't quit, so that you won't give up. And what's he saying here? You better run with perspective. You got to run with perspective. See, Jesus had perspective. He said that he endured the cross. Listen, there's nothing more horrific than dying on a cross. But he said he endured that. He went through that tough time because he looked beyond the cross to the joy that it would bring of him remaining faithful and him persevering. And you know what that is? That's you, and that's you, and that's you, and that's me. We're sitting here today because Jesus persevered. He endured the shame of the cross because his perspective was greater than what he was going through. And you and I, if we're going to persevere through things, we have to look to Jesus. We have to see the bigger picture. We have to understand that there's more to life than living and dying. There's more to life than my problems. There's more to life than my pain. And we have to run with perspective. One who did this in the Old Testament was Moses. Check out what is written about him. It says, by faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He refused to take the easy way. Okay? Goes on to say this. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. Why? Because he had perspective. Goes on to say this. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt. Hello? Because he was looking ahead to his what? Reward. Reward. See, there's a reward for persevering. Goes on to say this, by faith he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because of his perspective, because he saw him who is invisible. And who is invisible? God himself. And what is faith? Believing that God is who he says he is and that he will do what he has promised to do. And so how do you develop perseverance? You run with people, righteous people, good people. Okay? You run with passion. You run with purpose, and you run with perspective. Now, Paul, in one of his other letters, again, he's talking about running. Here's what he says. He says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. We will reap a harvest if we persevere. What is persevering? Refusing to give up when life is hard. When life is challenging. What are those benefits? I want to give them to you quickly. They're there in your notes. Let me give them to you quickly, okay? Here's the first benefit. You know what it is? It will change you. It will change you. I'm telling you, if you will persevere in life, if you will run with people who know God, if you will run with passion, if you'll run with purpose and perspective, it will change you. I promise you, it will change you. You will be transformed. You won't just be a churchgoer. You will be transformed. And you know how it will transform you? Here's the first way in which it'll transform you. You will reaffirm your values. You will begin to act on what you say you value. And it will clarify those values, and it will make them a priority in your life. See, the fact of the matter, the reason why so many of us are stressed out, we live incongruent lives. We say we value God, but we don't live as though we value God. Y'all right? And what happens is when you persevere, it'll change you because you will reaffirm what you say in your heart outwardly. Here's the second thing it'll do. You will find your voice. Oh, my lands. Oh, I tell you what, when you persevere, what will happen is it will give you the confidence to speak and to live out what you believe in front of your family and friends. You'll no longer be a secret Christian, a closet Christian. What happens is you'll find your voice because you will find God being faithful. Here's the third one. You will develop your character. You will develop your character when you persevere. It's one of the benefits. You see, passive people allow their character to be influenced and shaped by other people. But people who have a sense of perseverance, they struggle. And they allow God to shape and to influence their character. Here's another one, all right? you will experience fulfillment. Oh, my lands, this is unbelievable. You will experience fulfillment because you know what? You will become the person that God has called you to become and designated you to become and destined you to become. You see, listen to me very carefully. Commitment happens when you and I choose to believe in God. And when that happens is fulfillment begins to fill your heart and your spirit. And what you will find there is contentment because your actions and your attitude will align with God's will for your life. And so it will change you. Okay, here's the second thing that it'll do. It will bring others into your story. It will bring others into your story. God, listen to me. When you persevere through hard times, God will bring people into your life that you have never met to accomplish what he's asking you to accomplish. Y'all right on that one? And your relationships in life will never be the same. What happens is when you get aligned with God's story, then what happens is he will bring others into your life and you'll be amazed. You'll wonder, how on earth did this happen? I never knew you 6 months ago. And now we're friends and now we're networking and now we're doing something incredible, unbelievable. Here's another thing that we need to understand. It will increase your appetite for significance, for more significance. Once you find yourself in the middle of what only God can do, nothing else will begin to satisfy you. It's like I like to say, pop tastes great, but it never quenches anybody's thirst. Only water does. And there's nothing wrong with success, okay? Nothing wrong with success. It just isn't satisfying. Significance is. And what happens is when you get in the middle of what God wants you to do and is calling you to do, I'm telling you, it will increase your appetite for more significance. Here's the fourth one, and it is this. It will outlive you. Oh, man, it will outlive you. Listen, only what you do for Christ will last. Only what you do for Christ will last. Everything, you know, I drive by the Hall of Fame often. Does anybody know what the stadium used to be called? Fawcett Stadium. But somebody else came along with $11 million and they changed the name. Now it's Benson Stadium. You know why? Because what happens is nothing that you and I do here on earth will outlive us. It's only what you and I do for God. And when you and I choose to persevere and we're willing to make a difference, okay, what happens is you and I align with God and he begins to give you and I a legacy. And what an opportunity that is. That's a huge opportunity. And today, I'm asking you to live a life that matters. To live a life that matters, that will influence and impact other people, not for a day, a week, or a month, but forever. And we will be remembered, not just here on earth, but we will be remembered all throughout the ages of eternity. You see, here's what I want to do. I want to make a difference with people who want to make a difference, doing something that makes a difference at a time that makes a difference. That's what I want to do. And I want you to know something. My story is no more important than your story. All of our stories are important. I believe that every person who's here today has great value. I believe that. Everybody matters. And I believe in you. And I believe in your potential. And I believe that God wants to do something incredible in you and through you. And you have the ability to do that, no matter what you think. Not because of you, but because of him. And your story, like mine, won't be perfect. It's going to have ups and downs. It'll have highs and lows. It'll have wins and losses. It'll have surprises and uncertainties. You'll have good days and you'll have bad days. That's life. This isn't about creating a perfect life. It's about running with perseverance. You see, I'm an observer of people, okay? I love to go to the mall and just watch people, okay? I love that. And here's what I've noticed about most people. People are pretty passive about their life. They don't run with faith. They don't run with purpose. They don't run with sacrifice. They don't run with commitment. They don't run with generosity. And an indication of that is that 8 out of 10 people focus on the actions that they did not do rather than the actions that they did do when looking at life through the eyes of regret. Most people say, you know what, I regretted I didn't do that. I regretted I didn't get involved. I regretted that I... And you know what? You don't want that said about you. I don't want that said about me. I'd rather attempt something great for God and fail than regret never attempting something great for God. And so, in other words, they focus on the things that they fail instead of the things in which they could have done. And I'm telling you today, your life will take on a whole different dimension, a whole different dimension, if you will run with perseverance. You know why? Because I've experienced it. I know it. I know what it's like to run with perseverance, to run with people who speak into my life and encourage me and challenge me and spur me on. I know what it's like to run with passion and to believe in something, because if you're not willing to die for something, you can't live for something. I know what it's like to have purpose that's bigger than my pain and my problems. There's times I feel like quitting, but my purpose is too big for me to quit. And to run with perspective. And that's what I'm calling us to do. That's what I'm in all is all about. And as Moses, let's look for our reward that God has for us for persevering. Pray with me. God, we thank you today for who you are, and we love you. Wow, we thank you for Jesus who came and persevered. He endured the scorn and the shame of the cross because he saw the joy that it would bring to us. He had perspective. And we thank you that he has shown us the way. We thank you that he has let us know that it's doable. And so I pray for each and every one of us as we run this race. May we run to win. And may we run with perseverance, knowing that you are who you say you are and that you will do what you have promised to do. And it's in Jesus' name we give thanks. Amen.
If you want to talk to someone about a decision you've made or let us know how God's moving through this series, visit newpoint.org/podcast. Be sure to stay connected with us throughout the week on social media, and don't forget to download our app. Thanks for listening to today's message, and we hope you continue to realize and reach your full potential in Jesus Christ.